If somebody asks me what Youngstown was like, the blue-collar Youngstown I grew up in, I tell them to watch The Sopranos. My cousin Smokey, for instance, wore gold chains and rings and got to do whatever he wanted. He was my cousin on my dad's side and worked for the union at General Motors, but he never actually seemed to work. Instead, he was always playing golf. He drove a Cadillac, a vehicle widely known as a mobster car and the nicest car you would ever see in Youngstown. Everything you think of when you think about The Sopranos, the way the characters walked, the way they talked or yelled, the mannerisms, that was my childhood. For real, it wasn't uncommon to see guys in my town wearing matching nylon tracksuits or wife-beater t-shirts. Geographically, Youngstown is positioned halfway between Chicago and New York and Cleveland and Pittsburgh, all established mob towns. By the time I was born, Youngstown had become known as a mob town itself with nicknames like Murdertown USA and Bomb City USA. The preferred method of murder in the area in the 1960s? Car bombs set to explode upon ignition, also known as the Youngstown tune-up. When my dad's father, my grandfather, was young, he went for a drive with one of his uncles. My great-uncle Tony drove down a dirt road with my grandfather to a dead end where a cop was waiting. As the story goes, Uncle Tony got out of the car, walked over to the cop car, and handed him an envelope. They talked for a while, and then the cop drove away. Tony was giving my grandfather a glimpse into a life he could have, but my grandfather chose not to take it, and my dad always seemed disappointed. Like a lot of people, he glamorized the mobster lifestyle. Youngstown was once one of the most significant manufacturing cities in the country. People called it the Steel Valley because of the presence of multiple steel mills and automotive factories. The main employers in the Youngstown area were Republic Steel, Bethlehem Steel, Youngstown Sheet and Tube, and General Motors. And during their heyday in the 1930s, it boomed with twice as many residents as it has today. I grew up with factory workers. Steel was also an accurate description of the mentality of the people who lived there. If you got a safe and stable job at a factory with good benefits, you were set. That was the aspirational bar. On September 19, 1977, one of Youngstown's largest steel mills abruptly closed its doors, leaving more than 5,000 people jobless overnight. People called it Black Monday. Youngstown lost 40,000 manufacturing jobs in the 80s, with many other businesses suffering too. It never really came back. It seemed like everybody in Youngstown was either Italian or Irish, or lied and said they were. The tough guy was the most revered person in Youngstown. I loved the movie Goodfellas when it came out. There was something about the confidence of those characters, knowing nobody would mess with them, seeing how much they were both feared and respected. My takeaway was that toughness equals respect, and respect equals both safety and perks. It was alluring, and not just for me as a young boy. This was what many people in Youngstown wanted to become. Some people looked at local bad boys like my cousin Billy and his friend Booker, and they saw trouble. I saw the other side. I saw how they could do and say things they shouldn't be able to do and say because they were tough, and people respected that. Nobody stood up to them. My older cousin Anthony, Tony, who was legendary for a left hook that knocked plenty of people out, once walked into a party and saw me there. "What are you doing here?" he asked. "You're supposed to be the good one in the family." He and his crew were headed to a bar and asked if I wanted to go. "Of course I want to go," I said, excited. "But I'm 17 and don't have an ID. I think that place is 21 and over, isn't it?" "Don't worry about that." When we got to the Magic Twanger, Youngstown's only nightclub, Tony told the woman working the door, "He's with me." The bouncers never asked me for an ID. I found myself at the bar with Tony, his crew, and a few police officers, some in uniform. "This is my cousin," Tony said, wrapping his arm around my shoulder. "Well then, let's buy him a shot," said one of the cops. Just like in Goodfellas, my family was all in it together. We felt part of something. We looked out for each other. Whether guys like Tony were just barely on the right side of the law or clearly on the wrong side, they got a lot of respect. I liked that a lot. As a teenage boy, when I saw someone get treated like a king and the power and respect that came along with being part of the mob, I didn't think about the risks or how short-sighted it was to only focus on the privilege and the benefits. I wanted more than that, to feel well-respected and get to break the rules. "The way you look up to Tony," my mom said as I was beginning to hang out with Tony more often, "seems like you want to be a gangster." She was right.